Romans chapter 7 is one of the most badly mistaught chapters in the entire book of Romans. People use this chapter to abuse the liberty that is in Christ and to abuse the long-suffering and forbearance of God, which is supposed to lead us to repentance. But this is a chapter, for many people, a favorite verse is, "But the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Some people think in this chapter, Paul's saying, a Christian is always going to be a sinner. Which is shocking because in the past chapters we've covered, especially chapter 6, Paul has made it extremely clear that if you yield your members to obey sin, then you're the servant of sin. And that when you're the servant of sin, you're free from righteousness. And that the idea is that we are made free from sin in Christ, and that we serve righteousness now, and we obey Him. Chapter 7 is badly mistaught. I'm going to teach it to you correctly. And it's really very simple. So, let's begin with chapter 7, verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband is dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should not serve, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." So, now wait, and let's just read the next verse. Because it's sort of, this is, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So, Paul now, you remember in the previous chapter he had said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And now he's saying how we're dead to the law. But remember, the righteousness which is of faith cannot be obtained by law, or by legalism, or by looking at a set of commandments or a set of laws and seeking to obey them. The righteousness which of faith comes from God Himself. He actually gives you things that allow you to perform, and you bring forth fruit to God. Now notice he says, I speak to them that know the law. That is the key to this whole passage, because the passage, chapter 7, is about man and his relationship to the law and what it's like being under the law and how we are now free from the law. So he talks here first with an analogy. If a woman is, as long as a man's alive, the law has dominion over him. And see, he had said before, we got to be dead. We got to be buried in baptism. See, this is symbolic. Because You know, he says, we are not under the law. And he has said before, hey, you know, it's not by the law that we're justified before God, you know, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Chapter 20 of verse 3. The law is the witness that our righteousness, but it is not the source of our righteousness. It witnesses to the rightness of our acts, but it does not enable us to be righteous, because laws really only enable you to be a criminal. On the side of God. And this is the law of God. And the laws of man are an entirely different subject. This is the laws of God. And sometimes there's overlap, but we're talking about the Old Testament law. And even, like I said, if you want to approach Christianity in a legalistic way, and start to think in terms of, okay, I've got to, you know, like this, you look back in the chapter 5, and when he said, you know, tribulation works patience and patience experience, and then you say, okay, I've got to do all that stuff. I've got to have patience. And then you try to do it yourself. You're still seeking to please God by law. So, if her husband, while he yet liveth, should be married to another man, you know, he's saying very obvious, simple truth here, that if you're married to someone and you get married to someone else, you're an adulteress. Of course, you know, today we call it divorce. But if her husband's dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And so Paul is using that analogy and saying, now you also are dead to the law by the body of Christ, meaning Christ's death makes it so we are no longer married to these rules and regulations that we had to obey. Even the rules and regulations of your own conscience. Not saying that you can go out and just violate all the rules and regulations of your conscience. No, what it's saying is, it frees you from that. How does God free you from the law? Because by the death of Christ, and taking all those things out of the way, and he enables you to obtain this grace from God, and grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. The whole purpose of grace is that you might be taught, according to the book of Titus chapter 2, that you might be taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It is according to Peter, to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, and to live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. That is what